This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury. This is Enterprise here on BFM, and this is Open for Business. I'm going to be talking about a subject today that is close to many of your hearts, and my heart too. It's all about food, and in particular, you might say the humble nasi lemak. And it's one of those things that you wake up and you crave it. You have it in the evening and you crave it. Anytime somebody mentions nasi lemak, you're craving it. I'm speaking to somebody today. It is Deborah Joy Peter. She is a founder and chef for Santan and Sambal. They are a... how would you describe it, Deborah?
Well, very simply put, I call it a home kitchen catering offering with delivery.
Mm-hmm.
Since it's run out of my home kitchen and I'm set up quite nicely here, how it works is that if I get my pre-orders at least 24 hours in advance, I can just, you know, confirm that and make sure the orders go out the next day or whenever they want it.
So it's a homemade kampong style nasi lemak with delivery.
That's correct. Homemade nasi lemak. My favorite dish of all time.
Of course. I think any Malaysian that you sat down for 5 minutes and just probed them, this would be number one. There'd be this, there'd be durian, and not much else. Now, what was the kind of inspiration behind this? I mean, okay, everybody loves nasi lemak, but why did you decide to do this business? And at this particular time as well, starting a business in the middle of a pandemic for some people, you know, might be either they might say to you, you're crazy, or there's another reason behind it, Debs. What's your reasoning behind it?
Okay, so, well, for me, it started as a seed of thought, more out of necessity than anything else. Having been in publishing, journalism, and communications for the last 13 years, I never actually thought I would do anything else. Until fairly recently, I started to realize that with budgets dying down and, you know, purse strings tightening, my freelance projects weren't coming in as frequently as they were. So I had to ask myself, okay, so what can I do? If I'm not going to steal it or borrow it or beg for it, what can I do? The other thing that I do relatively well is cooking, being in the kitchen, because I it makes me feel very human and very normal in there. It's like I'm in my element or something. So I said, okay, so maybe I can start a catering service from home and structure it really well and start small with one thing that I really like and I know I can pull off. And then the question was, okay, so what's that dish? And then I was like, okay, nasi lemak. I mean, it's been my favorite since I was a child.
Yeah.
And so I thought, okay, so I'll start with nasi lemak and I'll make it really kampong style because that's how I like it.
Right.
And I think that's how a lot of other Malaysians would like it as well. And not just Malaysians, really. I mean, even the expat community that's here, I do know that a lot of them do like nasi lemak. So
yeah. I can't think of anybody that doesn't like nasi lemak.
there are. I think it's because of the spice. If you're not really used to, you know, the sambal and the flavor profile of the chili, then all you taste is the spice. But even in that scenario, I've heard people say, I still like the coconut rice, the santan rice.
Yeah.
So I think you might be right. It is quite a favorite. I call it a cult favorite because, you know, I can't think of anyone who doesn't like it. And even if they didn't eat every part of it, there's some aspects of the dish that they still savor. So that's good enough for me.
Now, you say that this is a business kind of born out of, you know...
Dire straits,
yes. That's the phrase I suppose I was looking for. And how much have you kind of thrown into this business? I mean, I know you've been very good at, you know, marketing it and pushing it out there already. I know you've really made some. But was there a cost element to this? I mean, if you're going from cooking for just two or three friends at home to potentially a delivery service, have you had to invest in new equipment or anything?
Okay, so I literally started this with ₱1 in my account. And there's nothing like clever or funny about it. It's just what it is. And it's one of the reasons why I kind of had to sort of change my gig a little bit. Mm. So the other part of this thing was, how can I start a business or offer something out of my own kitchen that wouldn't run me a lot of dollars?
Right.
And then I said to myself, well, if I'm doing pre-orders, so I structured the model that way. If I'm doing pre-orders and the customer is paying for the meal first to secure the order, then I will actually have money to use to shop and get, you know, the food prepared and things like that. Right. As for stuff in the kitchen, equipment and utensils, now I'm running on what I had. Maybe I added a few pots and pans, but other than that, I have been cooking for a long time, and I am culinary trained. I did hospitality and culinary operations in, 2004? That was a two-year program. And prior to that, I had worked in several commercial kitchens before, and I seem to be pretty good at the gourmet stuff.
Right. With that in mind, you're charging what? ₱15 per portion, right?
₱15 per portion with
so
chicken.
How in my head, what happens is 24 hours before the person wants the nasi lemak, they place their orders with you, telling you how many orders they want. So let's say, for example, I'm ordering 4 portions, ₱60 right there. You then take that ₱60, go out and buy your groceries for that particular 4 nasi lemak, you cook it fresh and then send it to them. Is that about correct?
Well, generally the day before I'll know how many orders I have. And
right.
If I have impromptu ones, I can still manage those if they're within reason. So let's say I know I have like 10 orders. So maybe I'll prepare for 20.
Right.
I mean, when I cook, I'm gonna make sure there's a little bit extra. But I don't like to do too much all at once because then, you know, the whole freshness thing sort of goes out the window.
Right.
And I want to make sure that I'm cooking it like on the day that the orders are going out. So if it comes in, so like if I get a WhatsApp and they have to place the order through WhatsApp, so at least there's something in writing that I can refer to just in case I miss it at first. I can always go back to it. I'm always
checking
my phone.
What's the largest order that you've had so far?
22 orders in a day.
Wow, in one day?
And that was last Sunday, yes.
Wow, that kept you busy then?
I was lucky because it was a dinner service, so I had the entire day pretty much to prepare.
Yeah.
And I was able to, map it out. And I'm a slow burn, Rich. I'm very OCD, so as long as it's very structured and organized, I can handle it, and you know, everything is in its place fine. Yes, sometimes things happen in the kitchen, like you run out of gas and stuff like that, but
it's like I've been there, done that. I completely understand. Yes. You're right in the middle of frying your favorite dish, and all of a sudden is that little pop, pop, pop of your gas.
It's happened once or twice.
Yes.
But I'm lucky because I'm a pretty calm person, so I just deal with it and then move on. Nothing. Yeah.
Okay, let's take a short break here, Deb. And then we come back. I want to talk to you a little bit about, the kind of process of you, like, selecting your ingredients and a few other bits and pieces. You're tuned in to Enterprise here on BFM. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm on the phone line with Deborah Joy Peter. She is the founder and chef over at Santan and Sambal. Gourmet nasi lemak, homemade kampung style nasi lemak with delivery. We'll be right back after these messages on BFM 89.9.
Bungkus for Makan, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury. This is Enterprise and Open for Business. I'm on the phone with Deborah Joy Peter. She is the founder and chef over at Santan and Sambal. It's homemade kampung style nasi lemak with delivery. Around 15 ringgit per portion, ordered via WhatsApp the night before. So, Deb, interesting. Where do you get your ingredients from now? Do you have like a specific auntie that you go to a specific wet market? Or is it now a case of like, you know, you have to source the way you can for now?
So for now, I rely on supermarkets and I try to shop halal. So far, it's been halal produce and things like that. Because I work a lot with spices and... well, there's rice and the other stuff is like cucumber and it's easy. It's easy to get.
Yeah.
And it's pretty standard fare. Everything is cooked from scratch anyway. So as long as I have, you know, my chili and my beans and stuff like that, I'm good to go, really.
So before the break, you were telling me that your biggest order so far has been 22 in one day. Are you turning a profit now then?
It's pretty good. I had to take a short break in between of about 10 days because there was an emergency. But so if you factor that in, I think it's still pretty good. Ideally, I would like to be churning out about 50 orders a day, 25 for lunch, 25 for dinner. That would be a really good day. And I think my kitchen is equipped to handle that capacity.
And do you prefer to work from your home kitchen or would you given thought to something like a centralized kitchen or something?
I suppose when things change a little bit and there is some money to be spoken of, maybe I could like have a little cafe type setup. That would be really nice. But again, now everything is takeaway and deliveries anyway. So theoretically, I'm doing what I would do in a commercial kitchen setup. So I think I have some time to sort of map that out in my head and on paper and see how the numbers go. But yeah, why not? I mean, when all this pandemic madness is over, it would be nice to actually have a physical place that people can go to and just experience that whole kampung style nasi lemak environment. I have some ideas. So when I don't know right now, it sounds like a good thing to look forward to.
And do you see this as something you would continue to do after the pandemic has vanished, or do you think maybe you're going to go back more to your kind of writing background? What do you think?
It's actually a very good question because I've had to think about that. I think for a start, I'm thinking a year. Let's see how the first year goes. I'm not just going to abandon ship and just disappear. I think if it takes off and it's gained some traction and people are loving it. And also, Rich, I think I will expand the menu. I mean, I'm starting small because that just seems to be the smartest way to go right now. Because if I do too much all at once, it can implode. And because I'm doing this alone, I mean, I have Anton who helps me with the day-to-day operations and stuff. But in the kitchen, it's just me. So I was thinking maybe every month I can introduce like a new meat dish like rendang or beef rendang or tenggiri asam pedas or something like that. So it just gives the customer something fresh and new to look forward to. So maybe if I can work on the menu and see how that takes off, I can keep it going for a while.
How do you feel about, you know, going back into the kitchen as well? I mean, you've had a productive career in your writing and stuff, and you say that you enjoy being in the kitchen, and this came out of necessity. Has it become a point, though, where but have you got annoyed with it yet? Has it frustrated you yet? And have you thought maybe had any second thoughts?
I think because I never really left the kitchen, Even when I was working on my other projects related to communications and PR and digital and stuff, I cooked quite frequently, I think practically daily, and I also fed a lot of mouths. And I loved hosting and just, you know, smelling the aromas, playing around with different ingredients and, you know, just experimenting with flavors. I have such a great deal of respect for the kitchen. So for me, it is a hobby. It is something I love. It is something I'll never stop doing. So whether I'm doing it, you know, as an offering for customers or whether I'm doing it for family and friends, I don't think I will stop cooking no matter what I do.
And what's your support network been like whilst you started doing this?
I think a lot of people were pretty excited because my food pictures go up on Facebook a lot. And they look all right, not too shabby. So I think when I didn't want to tell anybody about it until I knew it was actually happening and I had prepared like the collaterals for it. So when I finally did it, I think it was a pleasant surprise for those that didn't know this was brewing. It took me only about 2 to 3 weeks between the taste testing and the budgeting and all that to actually, you know, start it. Because I said to myself, if I don't do it, I'm never going to do it. So
even if
it's not perfect, I'll tweak as I go. And I know what to do, and I'm doing a little bit as I go and adding more and more. So it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right.
Well, I mean, one question I do have for you, though, is obviously when you're, when I say you, I mean we make our own food at home.
Yeah.
We can be quite generous with portions, you know.
Yeah.
We can throw things in that we want, a little bit of extra spice here, a little bit of extra rice there. And we're not really thinking about breaking that dish down, you know, into prices. You know, that's like a ringgit's worth of rice there or, you know, 2 ringgit's worth of chicken there. Was that a kind of difficult mental thing to go through?
Well, maybe because I've been in F&B for quite a while, maybe like 6-7 years, even before I started journalism, you kind of understand how portioning works. Everything is measured out. So I do have a weighing scale, and that's where the OCD helps me because, you know, everything, there's portion control and there's quality assurance, you know, from the way I do my first in, first out, it's called FIFO. To my clean as you go and to how, you know, I make sure that, you know, everything in my refrigerator is like fresh and all that. It's all planned out. So,
right. So
yeah, that actually helps. When it comes to portioning and the pricing, I figured, well, how much is a meal these days? How much would somebody pay for something that they like? Or, you know, something, you know, that's sized decently. And I couldn't think of, you know, anything that fell below like 15 ringgit or 12 ringgit or something like that. And because mine isn't a fast food service, it is a fine dining experience made out that's coming out of a home kitchen. And it would be always served that way. I felt that was a pretty good starting point for a 7-condiment dish. You have the rice.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have the sambal, you have the chicken, and then you have the groundnuts, the anchovies, the egg, and you don't get half an egg, which is what they usually give you. You get a whole egg.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty big egg because eggs, they come in different sizes and different grades. So
this is
a pretty good egg. And cucumber. Yeah. So.
Final question then, just before we move on, what about packaging as well? How expensive is the packaging? And obviously right now we're also in this world where a lot more people are a little bit more aware of, you know, being better towards the environment, and plastic packaging is becoming a thing that people are not happy about receiving. Have you addressed any of these issues?
I love this question because I had to sit down and think about this long and hard. I try to be environmentally conscious. I do want to go plastic free.
Yeah.
And because I did it in such a short time from the planning to the execution, I started with take-up containers, the regular plastic ones. And
yeah.
Now I'm happy to say that I've switched to paper boxes, meal boxes.
Excellent. Excellent.
So that's a good feeling, yeah. And I think even the cutlery, I'm trying to switch from plastic to wooden cutlery.
Right.
So, and really, it's not that much more in terms of cost, and I'm pretty excited about that.
Brilliant. Debs, thanks very much for your time and speaking with me today.
Thank you, Rich.
Where can people find out more information about the Santam and Sambal? Do you have a web page or anything?
I have a website. It's santanandsambalwordpress.wordpress.com. And I'm also on social media. I've got four channels for that. I'm on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Easy enough to find then, huh?
Yes, Santan and Sambal for all of them, yeah.
Wonderful. I've been on the phone with Deborah Joy Peter. She is the founder and chef over at Santan and Sambal. If you want to get your hands on some homemade kampung-style nasi lemak, drop her a line. You have been tuned in to Open for Business here on Enterprise on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.